Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
Okay, I want to officially welcome everybody to the broadcast. I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries. It's good to see everybody jumping on. Good to see you, Tammy. Good to see you, Teresa and Jackie and Rosemary and Judy and Maria and Zach and everybody that's jumping on here today. I want to talk about, have you ever asked yourself this question? And while we're doing that, again, I want to welcome all of our YouTube audience and our podcasters as well. And I want to ask you a question today. What will the message of the last generation be? And this proposes a question. Are we the last generation? And if we are, what does our message sound like? What are some attributes that we will possess if we are truly the last generation? If we're not, what will be the last generation? Because there's going to be a lot of arguments on this. Some say, well, you know, the argument was made 40 years ago that they were the last generation, and then 40 years prior to them, they were the last generation, and then we had another generation that would raise up, and then another one. So here we are in 2019, getting ready to go on to 2020, and the question is asked, what will the message of the last generation be? And I believe our message is going to be, and it's going to resonate with the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. And let me explain why that is. If you go to our text today is going to be Luke chapter 1, but we're also going to go over into 1 Kings as well. So Luke chapter 1, and then we're going to be hanging out in the Old Testament in 1 Kings. Here's what it says, and I'm just going to read this passage, and then I'm going to give you 8 things I believe this generation is going to possess, or the last generation is going to possess as the message, if you would. And then the angel of the Lord appeared unto Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Here we go. Now, "and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So I want to dig into these 8 things. These 8 attributes that I believe the last generation is going to possess. Their voice is going to resonate. It's going to carry. And with it will come these 8 attributes. Number 1, and they're all found in John. Because number 1, John possessed the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. And because he possessed that anointing, because that spirit empowered him, it enabled him to do these 8 things. Here we go. Ready? Number 1, it says that he will be called, John was called to be set apart for the work of the Lord for such a time as was then. And I believe that this last generation will be called and set apart for the work of the Lord for such a time as this. Listen, it says in verse 15 of Luke 1, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord." So this last generation, whoever this is, this generation that will be this forerunning generation, the forerunners of the Lord, the forerunners to prepare the way of the Lord, they will be called and set apart. They will be marked by God to do what God has called him to do in the hour in which God has called him to do. Now you say, are we the last generation? I don't know. I hope and pray that we are. And in my heart of hearts, I believe that we are. But again, the prior generation said the same thing, and the generation before them said the same thing. So I hope and pray that we truly are the last generation, and that our voice will carry and our spirit will carry these attributes. Okay, number two, it says, listen to this. John will neither drink, neither shall he drink wine nor strong drink. In other words, I believe this last generation, this forerunning generation that God is raising up in the earth, will be sanctified, and they will contend for holiness and righteousness. Let me say that again. They will be a sanctified generation. They will contend for holiness. They will contend for righteousness. They will not be a compromising generation. Whoever this last generation is that will be the forerunning generation, they will not be succumbed to the previous generation of compromise. Come on, they will not strive to see how far they can live on the fence, and they can ride the fence and see if they can make it into the kingdom. They will be absolutely sold out. They will be kingdom minded. They will be mandated by the Lord. They'll be commissioned by the Lord Almighty, and they will desire sanctification. They will desire to desire to reform the message of holiness and righteousness unto the Lord. Even so much so that the generation that will really oppose them will be the opposite. They will be a generation that will cater to unsanctification. They will cater to loose living, and they will reward unrighteousness. What do I mean by that? Guys, we can see that in the church today. It's almost like a free-for-all. Everything goes. There's no longer a contending for righteousness, a contending for holiness, a contending for sanctification. In fact, any voice that preaches such is really considered to be radical or extreme in this hour. Well, I believe that as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, there is going to be a remnant generation that is going to be so sold out to God, they're going to be called the Nazarites of this generation. Come on, they're going to be peculiar people. They're going to be radical believers, sold out to the Lord. And they will not be, you're not going to see these individuals blend in, if you would, and compromise, if you would. They're not going to look to camouflage themselves with the culture of this world, but they will oppose the culture of this world. And they'll be marked because, watch this, it says this of John. It says that he will not drink, nor shall he be given to wine. In other words, he will, oh, come on. We've got unfortunately, many in the church today don't see anything wrong with, come on, delving in a little bit with what the world does, and drinking a little bit like the world does, and smoking a little bit of bud on the weekend like the world does, and taking a little bit of this like the world does, and living like the world, and doing these things like the world does and like the culture does. They don't see anything wrong with this because this generation has, they have been propped up by false doctrines that enable their flesh instead of disable their flesh. Come on. Instead of crucifying the flesh, instead of mortifying it, it is catering to it. It's presenting a gospel in which we can live the way we always want, the way we've always lived, and it not cost us anything, and we can still be effective. We can still be efficient. We can still be anointed. We can still be commissioned of God. And this is really scary, guys, Because as long as we're drawing in people and we're attracting crowds and we're building audiences, then we've taken our focus off the fruit and we put it on, come on performance. We're more preference and performance driven than we are presence driven. As whereas generations past, they didn't have the things that we have in this generation. They didn't have social media. They didn't have platforms. They didn't have all these opportunities that we have today. They had to rely on the presence of God. And it was, come on, when they were on the backside of the desert, nobody knew who they were. It was the Spirit of God that promoted them. It was the Spirit of God that exalted them to be a voice crying in a wilderness in which when it was their hour and their time had come, come on, God exalted them above their present location to be the voice that God called them to be. All right, so number one, whoever this generation is that will be the last generation will be called, set apart for the work of the Lord for such a time as this. Number two, they will be sanctified. They will contend for sanctification. They'll contend for holiness and they'll contend for righteousness. All right, number three, listen to this. It says of John in Luke 1 verse 15, for he, listen, it says he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I believe, listen, that the last generation that's going to be on the earth prior to the coming of the Lord is not going to be a mamby-pansy, come on, lily-livered, spineless, no-powered church. It's going to be a voice that not only contends for a move of God, not only contends for revival, but they are going to, it's going to be backed up by signs, wonders, and miracles. They are going to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're going to speak in other tongues. They're going to cast out devils. They're going to lay hands on the sick. They're going to raise the dead. They're going to do great and mighty things in the name of the Lord. And Jesus said that these things you shall do greater because I go unto the Father. There is going to be a generation that grasps this. And you say, well, isn't this generation doing it? Absolutely. Again, I'm not saying that we are not that generation. But again, previous generations thought the same thing and another generation came and theirs went and we're still here. The Lord had not come back. I'm just telling you that based on what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, the thing which was is the thing that shall be, and there's no new thing under the sun. If you want to know how this thing's going to end, you got to go back to the way it began. And I'm telling you, there was a voice, there was a forerunner that came and prepared the way of the Lord in the beginning, and in the beginning prior to the appearance of the Messiah. And I believe that prior to the second appearing of the Messiah, there's not going to be one voice, but there's going to be a unified voice that will possess the same spirit and the anointing that possessed John the Baptist. And it is the Elijah, come on, spirit that will grip this remnant generation. Okay, and they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. They'll not be ashamed of it. They'll not try to put him in a back room. They'll not try to leave him at home. They'll be open about the Holy Spirit. They'll be expressive about the Holy Spirit. They will have no shame in him. They will open their mouth wide and let the Holy Spirit speak. They'll be used and moved by the Holy Spirit. They'll be messed. Come on. All these things that we saw in the early church with the moving of the Holy Spirit through the early church, we're going to absolutely see it in the last generation that will be the forerunning generation prior to the coming of the Lord. This generation will move in tongues and interpretation of tongues. It will move in public messages. It will move in gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, signs, wonders, and miracles, discernment. Come on, it will move in all these things. All the gifts of the Spirit will be restored in this last generation. All right, number four, listen to this. Number four, it says, and he will return many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Listen to this. Number four, the core message of the last generation prior to the coming of the Lord will preach a message of repentance, turning men and women to the Lord. You hear me? Because this is something that we're losing in the church today. This is something that the enemy has managed to come and take out of the mouths of the preachers behind pulpits, take out of the mouths of the evangelists, take out of the mouths of the apostles and the prophets and the teachers, is the message of repentance. But when John came the first time, he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I believe the generation that will come prior to the second coming of the Lord will preach the same message, and it will be repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come on, somebody. How many wants to see the message of repentance restored to a generation today? Hallelujah. All right, number five. Listen what it says here. Verse 17, he will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the father. Okay, so number five here, again, he will possess the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. That's the first part. He will possess the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. Now, you have to go back to 1 Kings 18. Here's what, and I'm not going to preach all this, guys, for sake of time, okay? Because I realize that we've been on here for at least 16 minutes. So I want to tell you, if you go to 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah the prophet did some things that I believe are going to parallel with this last generation. Number one, Elijah, the entrance and the appearance of Elijah was very interesting, and it was very pivotal. Listen to this. Elijah showed up to Ahab during a severe famine in the land. In other words, there was natural disasters. There was natural calamity going on. There was something going on in the earth that affected the earth's climate. In other words, there was natural disasters. Jesus said in Luke 21, Matthew 24, Mark 13, he says, in the earth there will be distress of nations. There will be perplexity. The waves and the seas will be roaring. Men's hearts will fail them for the fear of the expectation of the things that are coming upon the earth. There'll be earthquakes, and there'll be famines, and there'll be pestilence. He said, pay attention to earth changes. There's things that will happen in the earth with natural disasters. And it's interesting that right in the midst of a severe famine, Elijah shows up, and listen to this. He shows up and confronts the political tyranny of his day. Oh, come on, you got to hear what I'm saying. See, this, whoever this last day's generation is, see, we're waiting on an individual to face the tyranny. We're waiting on an elected official to face the tyranny and to face opposition and to face evil. But I'm going to tell you, there has to come a unified voice. What would happen if a unified voice was anointed with the spirit and anointing of Elijah and begin to rise up and oppose, come on, the Ahab of their generation? Because remember, Elijah showed up and he was labeled as a troublemaker. See, oh, you got to hear me today. I got to tell you something. Whoever this last generation is, when they start having the attributes of being set apart for the Lord, being sanctified, preaching holiness and righteousness, filled with the Holy Ghost, doing signs, wonders, and miracles, and preaching a message of repentance, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be labeled as a troublemaker. And when Elijah showed up to Ahab, he said, oh, look, it's the troublemaker of Israel. But what Ahab didn't realize was, come on, Elijah possessed in him the supernatural power of God to either shut up the heavens or loose the heavens. Come on, he could make it keep, he could make the heavens brass by the power of his word, or he could cause the windows of heaven to be opened up and cause an outpouring in the natural. I'm going to tell you, whoever this last generation of believers are, they are going to possess, come on, authoritative power. Whatsoever loose you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And we're going to confront the evil, the wickedness, the darkness, the tyranny of our day. And we will open our mouth and say, thus saith the Lord. and begin to declare, come on, the word of the Lord. Number two, there was a real attack on real prophets and people of God who spoke in the name of the Lord. This was all happening during Elijah's generation. So if we really are the last generation, then watch out for severity of attacks on real prophets and real people of God that speak out the name of the Lord. You're going to see them attacked based on 1 Kings 18:4. Because remember, Jezebel marked these boys, came after these boys. She was massacring the prophets of the Lord. But there was a man, come on, by the name of Ahab that kept these boys hid in a cave, and he fed them, he watered them, and he kept them safe. And what that tells me is, even though the persecution will get more severe, even though we will be considered to be more intolerant, we'll be considered to be bigots, we'll be considered to be troublemakers. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We may get to a point where we feel like we got to get into a cave. We may have to go in hiding. We may have to go on the down low. But I'm going to tell you something. There is going to be real Obadiahs. And I may have to correct myself. I may have said Ahab. But Obadiah understood that the prophets were under attack. He feared the Lord and he hid them in the caves. And he fed them, watered them, encouraged them, equipped them. Whew. All right, number three. Based on the patterns of history, it's going to come down to two major things. It's going to come down, guys, to this. You either serve the Lord God or you don't. You got to choose this day who you're going to serve. And I believe this last generation that's going to rise up with the spirit and the anointing of Elijah is going to be like Elijah. And he's going to stand and proclaim, either make God your God or you serve Satan. There is no middle ground. There is no in between. There is no plan B. All right, and then the next thing Elijah did was repair the altar of the Lord, 1 Kings 18:30. Today we've come to a time where preaching and church services are totally different than even 20, 30 years ago. The altars of the house of God was full. Souls were filling up with the altars, giving the hearts of the Lord. People were being delivered. People were being set free. Today, in many mainline denominations and churches, this is just merely a thing in the past. It's something we read about in books. It's something that the elders sit around and talk about that once was. Now, we have back rooms for prayer. We have back rooms for deliverance. And even for people receiving salvation. Thus, the altar of the Lord has essentially, systematically been torn down. And I believe there's going to, whoever this last day's generation of believers are, they are going to recognize this and they are going to make it an imperative mandate to begin to rebuild and restore the altar of the Lord. Come on, they're going to say, this is a place, come and drink, come and be filled, come and be delivered, come and be set free, come and be healed. The altars will be opened. They will not be something to be ashamed of. They will not be something that has to be in a back room. Come on, it's time we get out of the back room and get back, come on, to open expressive demonstration of our servanthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Jesus died on a cross in open shame, laid out before everybody, died and bled on the cross. But we want to hide the salvation message in a back room. We want to deliver people in a back room. We want to get them, come on. We want to do all these things in secret. But it's time that we are no longer ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. And then number six, this is something else. Elijah possessed was he possessed intercessory prayer. Let me say that again. He possessed intercessory prayer. 1 Kings 18:42. Elijah began to pray. He began to intercede for the rain to begin to fall. And so over and over again, one time he goes to his servant. He says, tell me if you see anything. He says, no. And the second time, come on, he didn't give up. He didn't throw in a towel. He didn't quit. He kept travailing. He kept interceding. And he goes a second time, nothing's happening. A third time, nothing's happening. A fourth time, nothing's happening. Come on, some of us would already gave up. We would already quit. We 30 minutes into prayer, we're like, well, I guess the Lord's not going to do it today. I guess he's not going to fall through. I guess it's not for me. I guess I'm not going to get the breakthrough. I'm not going to get healed. I'm not going to get delivered. I guess we're not going to see revival because we begin to grow weary in well-doing. But Elijah prayed not once, not twice, not three, but on intercession on his knees in a fetal position. He prayed seven times. And the Bible says on the seventh time, one of his servants came and said, I saw the cloud the size of a man's fist. And Elijah, and well, here's the thing, guys. Before it all was manifest in the natural, Elijah had an ear to the Spirit, and he said, I hear the abundance of the sound of rain. I hear the abundance of the sound of rain. Come on, whoever this last day's generation is, they are going to have an ear to the Spirit. They're going to have an ear to the working of the Lord, and they are going to know when to hear from God, what to hear from God, how to hear from God, when to act, when to pray, when to loose, when to bind, when to do what God's called them to do and be obedient. And because of their obedience, they will cause the windows of heaven to be opened. So let me get back to these eight characteristics that this last day's generation will possess. Let's recap this. Number one, they'll be called and set apart to do the work of the Lord for such a time as this. Number two, they'll be called to be sanctified and contend for holiness and righteousness. Number three, they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number four, they'll preach a message of repentance, turning many back to the Lord. Number five, they'll possess the Spirit and anointing of Elijah. And number six, listen to this. They will prepare a generation for the coming of the Lord. Number seven, it says that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and children of the father. This, come on, whoever this last generation is, they are going to be instrumental in understanding the necessity of merging two generations together, not dividing generations, not separating the old from the young. Come on, the dreams from the visions, but they're going to unite a generation. Come on, we're going to have the Joshuas and the Calebs. We're going to have them in the same service. We're going to have them in the same generation. And the older is going to look to the younger and say, we need your vision. We need your youth. We need your strength. Come on. And the younger is going to look to the older generation and say, we need your wisdom. We need your strategies. We need your dreams. We need your testimonies. Come on. We need each other. Hallelujah. Come on, church. I'm tired of seeing such separation in the body of Christ. We've got the older and the younger always combating with each other, always divided over music, over the message, over everything else. But what would happen if we unified into, come on, agreement? We came together and we had one purpose and one mandate, and that was to see, come on, heaven open and to see one final awakening, come on, to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Come on, somebody. Number eight. And then I'm going to close. Number eight. It says that John will be anointed by the Spirit and the anointing of Elijah. We know that he was. But this was the Lord speaking. This was the angel of the Lord speaking to Zechariah and telling him what John will possess. And it says that he will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Oh, this, come on. I got to tell you something, friends. The eighth and final one is that whoever this final generation is, whoever this last day's generation that's anointed by the Spirit, the anointing of Elijah is, they will have a message that will turn a generation back to the obedience of the Lord. They will will proclaim the coming of the Lord. They'll proclaim the day of the Lord. They'll proclaim the importance of getting right with God and not getting left. Come on, somebody. Listen, you don't see this many days anymore. It's a rarity anymore to hear the preaching of the coming of the Lord. But there was a generation that possessed the very thing I'm telling you about. To prepare, it would be nothing to come on a Sunday morning or come on a Wednesday night, and the preacher would get up and open his Bible and he would preach the necessity and the urgency of getting your heart right with God, getting yourself right with the Lord, and preparing your heart and your family for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For behold, he comes as a thief in the night. And I believe with all my heart that whoever this last day's generation is, they are going to boldly proclaim the message of the coming of the Lord. Come on, somebody. And I want to close with this real quick. How many wants to be a part of this remnant? Who wants to be? And you say, well, Brother Ricky, we may not be the last generation. Yes, but what if we are? Well, brother, we may be here for another 30 years. Yes, but what if we're not? Well, brother, the Lord may not come back for another 100 years. What if he comes back tonight? What if he comes back tomorrow? So here's how we're going to close this. Number one, I'm going to ask you to agree with me in prayer. And I'm going to pray for everybody about this in this podcast view, in this podcast message, in this YouTube message, on this Facebook message. If you're watching this today and maybe this message resonates in you and it quickens you, it convicts you, it compels you to prepare your heart for what he wants to do. And you say, Brother Ricky, I want to be one who possesses the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. I want to be one of these forerunners. I want to be bold as a lion. I want to proclaim the coming of the Lord. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to preach the message of repentance. Friends, if that's you, I want you right where you're at. Just begin to ask the Lord. Just talk to him like you would talk in a relationship, guys. Just talk to him. Say, Lord, make me a part of your last day's army. God, make me a part of your remnant. God, empower me with the spirit and the anointing of Elijah, Lord. Equip me to be the voice crying in the wilderness. Equip me to prepare the way of the Lord. God, fill me with the presence of God. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with boldness. Fill me with strength to proclaim the uncompromising gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask that you use me right where I am. While I feel, and I just feel led to tell somebody this. All this was proclaimed over John the Baptist. But you know, listen, John didn't get thrusted right into a synagogue. He didn't get thrusted right into a church, if you would. He didn't get thrusted right onto a platform. No, he got put in the desert. He got put on the backside of the desert by the Jordan, where ain't nobody out there. But that didn't discourage him. That didn't frustrate him. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't consider himself disqualified. He didn't consider himself not worthy and meet the merit of what God had called him to do. He recognized that God had called him right where he is. Stop. Come on. Some of y'all are looking for somewhere to be used. Instead, why don't you come on, let God use you right where you're at. Instead of looking for the next best place. Well, brother, if I had the platform you had, or if I had a pulpit, or if I had a microphone, or if I had a YouTube channel, or if I had a big time ministry, then my voice would be heard. Friends, before ever John was ever a voice to Israel, he was a voice in the wilderness. Your Bible says that he dwelt in deserts until, come on, he was exalted to a voice in Israel. You can find it in the book of Luke. He dwelt in wilderness till the fullness had come, and then God exalted him. But here's the thing. God will amplify your voice. Come on, you may be the least known on your job, but God will make you the most known. You may be the least person on the totem pole, but God will elevate you and raise you up. Come on. Why? Because of what's on the inside of you. Because of the message that you possess. Because of the Spirit and the anointing on your life. God will amplify you. He will promote you to get you. Come on. You think that promotion you got is only because God wants to give you more money. No. It's because He's entrusted you with the message that He's put on the inside of you. The promotion, the blessing, the money, the pay raise, that is all secondary to the primary, which is the primary is your voice and is your message and is the mandate that God has put on your life. Whew. I don't know who that was for, but I didn't plan on praying that today. But that just come out of me today. And secondly, we never know who's going to be on this broadcast. There may be somebody watching. There may be somebody listening by podcast. Or by YouTube or Facebook, and you don't even have your heart's not even right with God. You don't even know the Lord. And you sit here and listen to this whole thing, and you're like, why am I even listening to this guy? I don't even care about God. I don't want to listen to this stuff. But the Spirit of God has drawn you here. This is not an accident. It's not a coincidence that you're listening to this. So I'm praying for you, my friend, whoever you are, ma'am, whoever you are, sir. And I pray the Spirit of Almighty God would arrest you where you're at. He would quicken your spirit. You would begin to feel His presence upon you. Your hair will begin to stand up. You'll begin to feel a tingling sensation, a warm sensation come over you. And maybe it'll feel like fire coming on you or liquid heat or a warming, peaceful sensation come over you. What is that? Preacher, what is that? Why am I feeling this? That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit coming upon you. And He's drawing you into repentance. No man comes into the Father lest he be drawn by the Son. And the Holy Spirit draws us. So I'm asking Him to draw you to the cross today. Draw you to repentance right where you're at. If that's you and you say, that's me, preacher, that's me. I feel Him on me. I don't know what to do. What do I do? Here's what you do. You begin to repent. What does that mean? It means you begin to change your mind. It means you change your actions. You repent. You turn from your life. You turn from your sins. You turn from your lifestyle. You turn from being your own God. And you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll just simply pray a simple prayer like, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for doing things my own way. Lord Jesus, I believe that You died and rose again for me. I believe that You're Lord. I believe that You're Messiah. And I believe You're coming back again. I believe You died and rose again from the grave. And I ask that You to wash me and forgive me of all my sins today. And come into my heart by the Holy Spirit and live in me, change me, transform me, and help me to live a godly life and show me what to do. Show me what church to get plugged into. Show me what church group to get connected with. Show me Your word and Your plan for my life through prayer and through the reading of the Word of God. And I pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, if you prayed that and you really, truly mean it, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again from the grave, then you, my friend, shall be saved. Born again. Your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you did this today, we welcome you to the family. We welcome you to the family today, the family of the kingdom of God. So we love you guys. God bless you again. As always, we thank you for coming on to the broadcast. We thank you, everyone on podcast, everyone on YouTube, everyone here watching this broadcast here via by Facebook. And we just want to take the time here real quick to thank you. And we appreciate your support. We appreciate your prayers and your partnership to this ministry. We ask that if the Lord's blessed you by our ministry, by any way, if by through edification, encouragement, information, revelation, through End Time Headlines, Remnant Revival, both, and you wish to partner with us, support this ministry, whatever the case would be, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, we ask that you be obedient to that. If you'll look down right there on Facebook Live, you guys that are watching this by YouTube, if you'll just hang on here, you guys on podcast, at the end of this message, at the very end of this message, there's going to be more information on how you can support this ministry and partner with us. If you'd like to subscribe to live notifications, push notifications, our emails, daily digest, whatever the case may be, we want you to do that. And you can do that again right there below under the link on Facebook Live or by endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can go there as well. So God bless you guys. We're going to sign off for today. And we'll be back on here, Lord willing, on Friday with another devotional word for you guys and for the church today. So God bless. We'll see you soon.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.